going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, we are live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Literally, it's quiet right now.
It's too quiet.
Later on tonight, it won't be. As many Falcon fans will be here, it is a members draft party that's going on. We're down here. Mike, we've done this now X amount of years.
Right.
Every year, the anticipation of where the Falcons are going to go. People start to get off work. They start coming in here, and, you know, everybody's kind of chatting it up and saying, man, where are we going to go? What do we do? What do we need? And every year, they do something that we don't expect.
Yes.
Listen.
Well, you did call Bijan. I mean, the Bijan one you had, and you told people Penix was a distinct possibility.
Absolutely.
Just the day before the draft.
Well, listen, and today, you know, it's funny because Garrett's down here with us. He's our on-site producer today, and Day-Day is off. O is back at the studio, and Garrett literally said to us, all right, fellas, well, what do you guys think? And I said, I'll tell you, at 6:50 tonight, who I think the Falcons are going to take.
Womp, womp.
Okay? But right. The reality, though, Mike, is we are in the right area code, okay? Mm-hmm. We are in the right area code. I'm not going to tell you exactly for sure right now at 2 o'clock that the Falcons are taking this guy or that guy, but we're in the right area code. But I will say this. There won't be a surprise like there was last year with the Penix pick. Guys, if you're a Falcons fan and you're listening to us and you're going, they're going to screw this up, here's what I'm getting to. How much trust do you have that the organization is going to get it right? And Mike has talked a lot about this, guys. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is draft day. We're live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But you've said because of the past draft history, sometimes it's hard for Falcon fans to believe that they're going to get it right.
Yeah, I mean, all I did today was post a photo of me standing here at the 40-yard line, and you know what's going to happen. I got memes of, like, Lucy pulling the football up as Charlie Brown tries to kick it. So, yeah, I get it. We've all been beaten down by the process over the years, and sometimes, yes, it has kind of confounded our sensibilities, what we all expected. But, I mean, this year it is pretty simple. Carl and I said it. Guys, it's either going to be a defensive end, an edge rush, it's going to be an outside linebacker, or it's going to be a defensive tackle. One of three. Now, the outliers are the corner and the super-duper outlier, which Carl still mocks me on, is offensive tackle. But that's only if everybody else apparently goes off the board. But I just think, to me, it's tackle or edge rush. And that's what I think we're going to be talking about tomorrow. And who we're talking to.
And I hope so, because those guys in those positions help us. I will tell you, as we get started here today, there are a couple of interesting things that are happening. Here's what I'm hearing, Mike. Jihad, the kid out of Alabama, the right. Linebacker we've talked a lot about, Jihad Campbell, yes. The injury concerns, he may be sliding.
Okay.
Will Johnson out of Michigan
right.
May be sliding a little bit because of the injury concerns. And remember, we talked about him. That's a corner.
Right.
And we said, all right, if he's the best corner on the board, I've been talking a lot about the kid out of Texas, who I like a lot more, and I think he's more versatile. But the fact is, there are some guys. It's draft day. It is round one, and there are some guys who were projected to be first round picks. They still may be, Mike, but maybe they don't go as high as we thought they would. So some of the things that are playing out right now, teams are still looking to maybe make a move. I do not think that either one of these top three teams come off of their picks, guys. I want to say it takes way too much for anybody to go in and get two or three away from the Browns or the Giants.
Right.
But, Mike, some of these guys, and when I say slide, again, don't misunderstand me. They're not going to day three. But, Mike, when you talk about being a potential top 10 pick to maybe being pick 22, that's a big deal.
Well, that's just it. I mean, we've had so much. I mean, some of this is feels like misdirection. That's why I was joking around. After like 3 months of prognostication, we're finally getting to the real thing. And everything between the Shedeur Sanders conversation, you just mentioned, you know, what's going on with Jihad Campbell. You know, it's funny because just yesterday, of course, his agent, now this isn't anybody with the NFL, but his agent says, no, he's good. His shoulder, he'll be good for camp.
You know why?
Because there's a concern that he's going to drop.
That's right.
You know, and then yesterday, we spoke about for the first time at length, Donovan Ezeraku out of Boston College. And a lot of guys were like, you know, again, if I get it, there's varying degrees of interest. Maybe you don't follow as much as we do. We're talking about this every day. Maybe you just tune in the week of or start looking at it. Guys, we've done pretty well taking players from the ACC. Okay, Bergeron out of Syracuse, Lindstrom out of Boston College. I mean, I know you guys make it sound like the ACC is all of a sudden Pop Warner football. You know, I mean, yes, these guys go to the NFL. The SEC is a monster. But, I mean, Donovan, if we are talking to Donovan Ezeraku tomorrow from Boston College, he does everything you'd want. He gets the quarterback on the ground, and he sets the edge. So when a running back is trying to, he stands his ground, doesn't get pushed around, and also gets the quarterback. And to me, that's the guy we want. So even though it's not sexy and it's not a Georgia player, I got no problem with that.
I don't either. And I hope that our listeners are not solely caught up on that. I mean, if you're a dog fan, you went to Georgia, you bleed red and black, I get it. And you're sick of the Falcons bypassing potential Georgia players.
Right. But and you feel Mykel Williams is the dude.
And that's fine. But the reality is also that there are a ton of other guys in this draft that can help us, and we can't be singularly focused, guys, on the fact that if it's not a Georgia player, it's the wrong move. 404-726-0929. You can always hit us up. Find us on social media. We're live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, guys, hanging out for tonight's draft party here at the stadium. Find Mike at Mike Bell ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up, C Dukes. And, of course, you can always find the radio show at Dukes and Bell 929 on this radio station. Follow it at 929 The Game and keep up with everything that's going on. We are going to let you hear over the next 5 hours a bunch of folks that we've either talked to or that have come on our radio station in regards to the draft because we're trying to give you as much perspective on this thing as we go into the night as we possibly can. Charles Davis stopped by. We'll hear from DJ Shockley. Emory Hunt went on the midday show, guys. Really good draft guy for CBS. We're going to let you hear our buddy Ross Tucker, Steve Weiss, a variety of voices that you'll hear over the next 5 hours. But in the meantime, Mike, we're going to chop it up with you guys. And, you know, we want to hear from you. We want to know what you're thinking. I think there's a lot of excitement. But I also think that's tempered, Mike,
right,
by the fact that we are picking 15th. We're not in the top 10 or top 5. We probably will stay there. But if we move back,
right,
then maybe the excitement is not as much as it has been the last couple of years when we were in the top 10.
I tell you what, man. I've been covering the Falcons since 1998. And I got to tell you, every year, with the exception of a few years like Vic Beasley, which we thought was the pick right there at 8, and we did, I've wanted us to trade down for years. Now, in some cases, you know, we just couldn't because you need a trade partner. And we heard Terry Fontenot speak with the media yesterday, and not like he's being condescending. It's true. We can all have fun on these draft generators and simulators. But, I mean, you know, some of these valuations are off by a mile, and you're not going to get what you think you're going to get. But I'd love for us to pick up right now a extra second rounder and a third rounder. And the way we do that is we got to drop down at least 10 spots. So that's me. You have to be prepared to fall to 25 or in that neighborhood. Because, guys, right now all we have is 15, 46, and 118. That's tough in a year where we know we got some holes to fill. 16, we did a hell of a job, man. We got 3 starters, 4 if you count Hooper.
Yeah, and that's the challenge for Terry Fontenot tonight. He did say, and he's not making excuses yesterday, and we'll let you hear a little of Terry coming up as well, saying we've got 5 picks. We got to hit it out of the park with these 5 picks if they keep the 2 seventh-rounders. I actually don't think they're going to. I think that, you know, day 2 and 3 could play out a lot different than tonight. But tonight is the night where you should get a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
You should get a guy who comes in and affects the football team in a way that, Mike, when we're talking about the playoffs next year in this stadium and we're headed to the playoffs, that guy is a major part of what has happened with the defense or, you know, however they're going to try to use that particular player. I just feel like that is where we have to go. But I don't know if they're going to stay put with those 2 seventh-rounders because, again, you talk about rolling the dice. The 3 picks, you know, the first,
right,
the second, and the fourth, okay. I don't know about the 7th-rounders. Either way, we'll see how it all shakes out, and that's what makes the draft so interesting. While we're talking about edge rushers, and you're going to hear Mark Ross coming up here in just a little bit on the show, but Big O back at the studio, can you find where he was talking about, I think it's 23, where he's talking about Marshall edge rusher Mike Green as an NFL edge rusher, and Mike and I spent a lot of time on Mike Green. I think a lot of people have jumped on board. Mm-hmm. You do a lot of mock drafts. It's easy because people are just, you know, kind of inserting him into that slot and saying, oh, well, it makes sense. And I told you guys that the Falcons do really like him. But right. This is another guy's opinion about how he feels about Marshall edge rusher Mike Green.
Yeah, I like Mike Green. He's my second best edge rusher after Abdul Carter. And the stats, you see the stats and the level he played at, but you know, it's real. He played his best game against Ohio State. So if there's any doubts, just check out how he played against them. And then he stepped it up at the Senior Bowl. But, you know, he just shows a variety of moves, the spin, the dip. He's got some jolt in his hands, especially in the run game when he takes on tight ends. So he would be an ideal pick if he's there for the Falcons.
It's funny. I went round and round with a dude yesterday about this. Small school. I only started at UVA. Stuff in his personal life. I go, dude, I wasn't there. I don't know, man. Like I said, I mean, would you have told the Cowboys not to take Micah Parsons? No. I mean, hell, it would have taken us to take Micah Parsons at 4 in retrospect that year in 2021. So as Carl and I said, and we're not, like, by the way, we're not trying to sound like a bunch of Philistines. I don't care. I want to win at all costs. But if I haven't seen anything about a police report or charges or settlements, I don't want to hear about it because you don't know either. You know, so and we've seen the full spectrum. We've seen guys that are cavemen in the NFL that made it to the NFL that shouldn't have. We've seen guys that got victimized by people who had that were going for money. We've seen guys that were USC
Burns.
Brian Burns, USC player, his entire life derailed over false accusations. So I mean, I don't know, and I don't think you know either. So I mean, to just be glib about it on social media to me is stupid.
Yeah, Green is he's got all the elements, man. And here's the deal. Abdul Carter is considered the best edge rusher, but he's not the best pass rusher.
Mm-hmm.
That goes to Green. And when I say that, guys, I'm talking about a guy that can come in and he's already got pass rush moves. He's explosive. He's got great hands. All the stuff that you want to talk about. Bend off the edge. That's the stuff that matters. And so, Mike, some of that stuff you have to teach guys. He's not one of these guys you're going to have to teach in year one. He's going to come in ready with that and then hopefully progress and get better with that skill set. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, getting you ready for the NFL draft tonight, a full 5 hours today as we're live in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And I want to remind you, when we get done, our buddy Mike Conti, of course, Wes Durham, the voice of our Falcons, and Dave Archer, the analyst, will all have you ready for the draft. Live coverage, guys, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. They're going to take you pick by pick. And all the way up through the Falcons pick, I can't tell you how late they're going to go, but I will tell you they'll be here all throughout the first round, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Every year I find myself, Mike, because I try to get home to take in the draft and make sure I got all my notes and everything taken care of. And I'm driving home, and I always hear interesting stuff from Dave and Wes and Mike Conti.
Hey, man, wouldn't it be fun if tomorrow we're at Flower Branch and we're talking to Abdul Carter? And we moved like
that would be incredible.
We gave this year's first, next year's first, whatever it was to get up there and get that dude. I mean, like basically be the defensive equivalent of the Julio Jones or the Mike Vick trade when we went from 5-1 with the Chargers.
It would be incredible.
I mean, something that would just electrify the fan base.
Well,
I think it would.
I do too. And this is what I was saying about tempered expectations. Picking 15th, you go, okay, I know we're going to get a good player, but there's nothing like picking 1, 2, or 3.
Right.
Or top 5 when you know, okay, something special is about to happen. We're about to get something special. It's like we talk about, and look, there's no comparison and there never will be. But when the Falcons got Mike Vick, there will never be another comparison to the feeling of what this community felt. Right,
the and vibe so, was the plus. Not to mention, you know, all those Falcon woebegone, these tales of all the misery as a Falcon fan. Carl, it was the most un-Falcon thing ever.
But Mike, to your point, if they were to do something like that tonight, I'm not saying it will equal it, but it would get me as excited as I've been in a very long time to say, hey, we in fact are all in. Are they all in? If they're all in, and I've been saying this since the early spring, if you see a guy in this draft that you feel like you have to have, go make it happen. I don't want to hear about, oh, well, we can't do this or that or the other. If I'm a general manager potentially on my last year of my deal, Mike, and I'm not saying it's the last year of his deal, I'm saying I feel like he might be fighting for his job, I'm going to do whatever it takes.
Right, and it doesn't matter because that pick, whatever you're going to give in next year's future, that's maybe somebody else's problem because as we're all in agreement, we don't go to the playoffs this year, there's going to be a new general manager. So, look, you look where we're at. The two things. You got to have someone to trade up to, just so you have someone to trade down to.
You do.
But you got to be able to come with a sweet pot. If you're somebody you've identified as a game changer, this is a draft where most people, and we quoted Daniel Jeremiah, a lot from NFL Network. By the way, you watch NFL or ESPN tonight? I watch NFL Network for your draft coverage.
Yeah, I heard Andy and Randy talking about this. Look, For me, I don't know. It's
who's more aggravating at the time than you switch over
correct,
to the other one?
Correct. That, to be honest with you, that's kind of where I'm at. I might have both on at the same time with all the TVs. I may have both on.
But the reason I bring it up is Daniel Jeremiah has said this is a draft with a lot of, you know, starters. You know, we want to call them worker bees. A lot of depth. Carl said there's basically the same kind of ranking or rating on players through basically the middle of the second round. So, you know, can you find – but if there is a guy – that's the thing. That's just being said. You know, we didn't know that Micah Parsons was going to be that most recently that guy. We thought Khalil Mack was going to be pretty good. Khalil Mack was a rock star. So we'll find out. Is that dude in this draft? And as Carl said, can we get our hands on him?
Can we get our hands on him? When we come back, the other compelling thing we're keeping our eye out on tonight, and you should too. We're going to tell you about it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
We are live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Members draft party going on a little bit later on. Michael hits us up at Put 'em Up, C. Dukes, Mike Bell, ATL. He says, NFL, hashtag, NFL draft 2025. Think like an adult, not like a baby. Draft defense, unlike last year or the year before that. Look.
Or before.
Michael, they're gonna do the right thing. They are. No, they're going to do the right thing. The thing is, you or me or maybe Mike or whomever is listening to us today may not agree with the exact pick, but they're going to do the right thing. There's no way they don't draft defense. Mike, if they don't draft defense, I'm not going to Flowery Branch tomorrow, okay?
That's a bold statement, Cotton.
my man Gord's like, cool, I ain't got to be there. If they don't draft defense, I'm not going. They cannot look at this team and not stare the glaring need in the face that it is defense.
Strip sack.
We can't do that.
With the 15th pick, Falcons select offensive tackle.
What?
From Michigan. Now, I mean, I'm telling you, my Spidey sense still thinks there's a slim chance that they want to protect Penix Jr.'s blindside.
Stop it.
Because, again, we all agree this defense is one of the worst in the league, one of the worst at getting the quarterbacks on the ground.
How could you even ignore that still?
And you've got to pick up the offense. Like, that's why, you know, I know you get crazy at me for saying 2016, but the 2016 business model, our defense wasn't great, even with those three starters we drafted, but we scored 30 points a game because Shanahan was freaking brilliant, and we had it cooking. Matt won the MVP, and that's why teams couldn't hang with us because defense could pin their ears back.
Yeah, listen, we thought some of that was going to happen this last season when Kirk Cousins came to this team, that we'd be having a more potent offense. Speaking of Cousins, here's something we all should be looking out for tonight, and especially over the next couple of days, and that is whether or not Kirk Cousins potentially, if a deal gets done, all right, now's the time, guys, if you're going to try to pull something off, draft capital involved, draft picks, Mike. You talk about, you know, moving in this draft and seeing if you can make something out of nothing. And Terry Fontenot discussed this yesterday, so I want you to hear it because he was asked that plain and simple question. Could Cousins be traded during the draft?
We'll see. You never know. A big part of this is going into these weeks, there are a lot of phone calls with me and other GMs and also with our entire staff, the pro staff of looking at surplus and looking at where there's needs in other areas. And then so there's always in-draft trades. There's also after the draft, depending on what happens, things really shift. So with Kirk or anybody else, I couldn't really anticipate that right now. It just depends. But that's a big part of it, communicating with teams and looking at where they are and how this draft is going to affect their needs.
So he's saying, of course, yes, that could. But it's got to be the right situation, right?
Right. Now, this weekend, could you say that maybe something happens on a Saturday on the final day of the draft? We've unloaded Kirk Cousins. We're gonna eat $28 million if we get a seventh-round pick. I doubt it. But that's one of those things that Bill Barnwell from ESPN was putting out there about a month ago. You know, there's just an argument, as Carl has been making all spring, that you just hold on to him and maybe you just see what happens as late as, I don't know, camp has started, and there's a team that just doesn't have what they're looking for or needs depth and is willing to do a deal. And Kirk's got to sign off on any of this.
He does. Terry Fontenot, our general manager, Mike, was saying he was not surprised that Kirk Cousins was at voluntary workouts. I was, but he wasn't.
I wouldn't say a surprise. It's a, you know, this is a voluntary thing. And so whether a player comes or doesn't come, we have a lot of really good professionals that we know whether they're here or somewhere else, they're going to really take care of their body. And obviously Kirk is one of those guys. So I wouldn't say a surprise because it is voluntary. These guys, they put in a lot with what they do. And so they deserve times with their families if they decide not to come or to come. So I wouldn't say it was a surprise.
Okay. We've debated this, whether this is simply just from a contractual standpoint, as Randy McMichael pointed out the other day, that there's X amount of percentage you've got to hit to get your contract. And part of this is, whether it's voluntary or involuntary, you're there. And so he checks off the 80% box and he gets paid.
Last but not least, just something we're watching, guys. It's not our focus. We are more concerned about what pick and who we're going to pick in this draft. But the Cousins thing is just out there. What about these salary concerns, Mike, or these specific salary returns that the Falcons have said this is not true? Because the rumor was, what, $20 million?
Yeah, $25
million. Okay, that we want another team.
Yeah, which no one's going to do.
To pay $25 million of the remaining 20 salary.
Minimum, right.
All right, here's what Terry Fontenot said about that comment.
We just have to look at whatever, say if we get an offer on any player. We get an offer, we have to look at it and say, is this going to help our team? Is this the betterment of our team? And then we'll do it with Kirk or anyone else. It comes down to that. But the report that says a specific number, that's not accurate. We haven't said that.
Okay.
You believe it?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No, again,
I don't either.
It's just, it's, and as people go, are you calling him a liar? No, I'm saying it's a game. Do you ever play poker? Do you bluff in poker? Does that make you a bold-faced liar? No, it's a strategy. And the strategy requires a degree of deception. How's that?
I agree. I think in this circumstance, they have to ask for something in return. And the way I stated it earlier in the week, guys, was if a team says, okay, we'll pay $10 million, not the $20 million,
right.
Okay, well then we are going to give you less in return as far as what you're asking us for, right? You're going to get Cousins, but you're also asking for potential draft capital. If you give us $20 million or $25 million, all right, then you get Cousins, and what else do you want? Because
right.
You're giving us what we want. I think that there's the negotiating bargaining table thing that you're talking about, but I don't believe that. I think you go into this and you say, the only way we can move him, because we don't want to pay all of this, is if somebody picks up a portion of it.
Right, and that's why guys from the jump, they've always maintained they were comfortable with the idea of Kirk being in camp. We've debated whether players give a flip one way or the other. Either way, you know, you got to play out you've got to play the strategy out, because I'm sure there's a lot of general managers who go, look, the Falcons are just going to cut Kirk Cousins. You've always said post June 1, and they'll have to eat it, but they'll play tough guy and they'll play this game out as long as you can.
They are trying to trade him. I just don't know what trade partners are out there. Hey, as we look around the draft, guys, and we got a lot to discuss here over the next 4.5 hours. We're live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium getting ready for the member draft party tonight. As they're setting this thing up, by the way, every year, does it feel like it's getting bigger and bigger? I don't know. Like every year there's more vendors and more stuff. Garrett and I were walking in today, and there's like two huge trucks. Scoot over, sir. Yeah. We're like, okay.
Yeah, man, this is tight. It is. They got a big stage set up. They got the Falcons with the Broadway lights set up with the logo. Very cool. And if you guys have got the season tickets and the invite, come on down, man. We'll be right here. The great real estate. Thanks to everybody. The Falcons put us in the Maybach Terrace, which does not stink.
No, it doesn't. Are there drinks in those fridges?
I already checked. And again, we learned last year they frowned on us taking unauthorized beverage.
I'm just asking.
But no, I mean, once the bar opens up, it's getting a character.
Yeah, man. And that's going to happen here fairly quickly. All right, coming up, you're going to get a chance to hear Emory Jones, CBS Sports. He stopped by Andy and Randy. We're trying to give you all the different perspectives, guys. And you're going to hear a lot of different voices leading up to the draft tonight. Because, again, everybody's got varying opinions on different players. But more importantly, Mike, I think the guys that we've been focused on, and I think, you know, most of our shows, everybody that's had draft experts on, have been asking similar questions about the guys we're interested in, right?
Guys, I like Mike Green. I'd be cool with Ezeraku out of BC. I think, you know, Mykael Williams. But again, this is the thing with Mykael Williams. You talked about some of the, like, what's going on right now with from Alabama, Jahad Campbell, is the perception that he's not going to be ready to go.
Sliding.
And, you know, had a private workout, private dancer, and apparently he didn't look that great. Now, Connor Riley came on the show, and he just said, just as a guy who sees him every other day, just didn't really look great by his standards.
You're talking about Mykael
Williams.
Yeah.
So, look, I know that we've spent a lot of time this year because, you know, to have just like less than 10 Georgia Bulldogs drafted in the entire history of your franchise just seems like impossible. And the highest drafted Falcon in the last 25 years is Akeem Dent in the third round out of the University of Georgia. But, you know, and especially when you dovetail that with the success the Eagles have had, playing in two Super Bowls in the last 3 years, winning one of them, and having all those Georgia Bulldogs. But Mykael Williams, at the end, I'd love to see it, but I think the upside's there. But it's hard as we've spent all this time to quantify Georgia players because, like so many in the SEC, the way they're what they're asked to do doesn't pop like a Mike Green or an Ezeraku stats coming from college.
No, the stats are there. These guys that you're talking about are producers. The numbers. If you said, all right, how productive was he in college?
Right.
The numbers scream that these guys were very productive.
Well, like Pierce only has 7.5 sacks, for instance, out of Tennessee.
Yes, and does that, you know, say, hey, I'm not going to draft a guy because he had 7 sacks, or you're looking at how they were using him.
Right.
Either way, lots to get to here live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. All right, Emory Jones is on the way, guys. CBS Sports, he stopped by with Andy and Randy. We're coming back. We're going to let you hear a little bit of what he had to say in regards to the edge rushers and much more here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. There will be some surprises tonight in the NFL Draft, round one. We're live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's Dukes and Bell, guys, hanging out. Members draft party, which will happen a little bit later on. But, Mike, the one thing that won't be a surprise is Cam Ward, right? We all know, at least we think, Cam Ward is going to be the number one selection by the Tennessee Titans. And that's not going to surprise anybody. I think that's kind of been the case at least going back a month now. But, you know, when Tennessee came out and said, hey, we are keeping the number one overall pick, we are not going to trade it away. Everybody said, oh, it's a done deal. They're going to get Cam Ward. But the crazy thing about this, before we let you hear what Emory had to say coming up here, Emory Hunt from CBS, is, Mike, guys that do this every day in the NFL are saying, well, yeah, but if he came out last year, he'd be like the 6th or 7th best quarterback.
Right, that's the knock.
In the draft. And you're going, well, wait a minute, why is he number one this year?
Right.
If he only would have been the 6th or 7th best quarterback, by the way, behind a guy like Michael Penix last year,
right.
Okay? And it's timing. Guys, when you come out, you know, this is why guys decide to go back to school, and it's also why guys decide to come out. He came out in a year where it just happens to be a situation where all of a sudden he catapults to the top of the draft, and because quarterbacks are such a commodity, Mike, he's going to get picked number one. But he would not have been picked number one if he came out last year.
Right, and that's what has a lot of folks going. So this guy, all of a sudden, as you just laid out the scenarios, he's number one, but a guy that would, you know, be number two in this class all of a sudden isn't even in the top 25 or top 32. Talking about Shedeur Sanders, we've asked all our experts, all our analysts. We'll hear more of those comments coming up, guys, later in the show, live from the Benz. But it just drives me nuts, and you said it. Yes, I mean, does he hold on to the ball too long? Sure. Well, so the hell did Josh Allen. Josh Allen had a competition level that was negligible, Carl, coming out of Wyoming, and there's things you can fix. I think Brian Daboll would be that guy. The Giants apparently spent more time looking at him in person, workouts, going to Colorado than any other player. Just to pass on him? I don't know. Unless just a giant smokescreen, they're looking to get people to trade up, and they still think they can get their edge rusher moved down.
That's a lot of investment, though.
Right.
I mean,
and this has all been reported. This isn't gossip. This has actually happened.
No, it's absolutely happened. And you know, when you talk about the time and investment on a particular player, only these teams privately know what they've done behind the scenes and, you know, what they've invested. But to hear the Giants have been doing what they've done over the last couple of seasons when it comes to Shedeur Sanders, it's saying a lot if they don't draft him tonight. Either way, Cam Ward, and I'll be clear about this too. I'm not saying he's going to be a bad quarterback. I'm just saying how these circumstances change year in and year out, you know, with the rankings and when guys come out and if you're going to be the top overall pick or not. He will be tonight with the Tennessee Titans. Let's hear what Emory Jones had to say on Andy and Randy as we continue to break down the draft here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The first question Andy and Randy asked was, where do you think that the Falcons are going to go with the 15th overall pick?
I think they go defensive line, and it encompasses whether it's a defensive lineman per se or an edge rusher. I think that's where not only the need for the Falcons kind of leads you to believe, but also just where the talent is in the draft in terms of where they are picking and what could be potentially there for them at 15.
Hey, and because there's not like, because every year the quarterback, they push good prospects back because team won't quarterback. Because there doesn't seem to be a big lock of, you know, quarterbacks being drafted in the top 10 or 3, do you think there'll be a lot or less trades in the first round?
I think we'll see more trades, to really? Be honest, because what's fascinating about that is when you think about how teams are talking or how everyone is talking about Ashton Jeanty and how everyone is talking about, you know, Teteroa McMillan, or how everyone is talking about Tyler Warren, and there are a few teams you kind of say, man, this is a perfect fit for X, Y, and Z player like a Jeanty, McMillan, or Warren, it kind of yields itself to teams like, hey, man, you know, if I'm the Colts and I think the Jets have a potential of taking a Tyler Warren, I might want to call Jacksonville to see if I can get up to get that guy. Or if I'm Chicago and I think a team like the Raiders or the Cowboys may be on the phone with the Raiders or on the phone with Jacksonville trying to get up to get a Jeanty, man, we better move up and go get that guy. So I think we'll surprisingly see a lot of movement because of certain players and teams that have really good depth on their roster on both sides of the ball can take those targeted chances to get that one guy that they feel like can push them over the top.
One of my favorite things about talking to you this time of year is you're not afraid to give your opinion of the position rankings. Like, you're not just going to say what everybody else is saying or what might be the least likely to be wrong or whatever. Like, we've had years where you've come on and told us about a random linebacker out of Montana, and then the Falcons take him in the second round. I want to ask you about the because I think it's pretty consensus now that Cam Ward's going to go number one. I'm interested to know how you view the quarterback position after that. Is it Shador, and then who's there, and how does it sort of break down one through three or four for you?
Well, for me, and the tweets are there, the receipts are there, I've always had this take, and it's Shador 1, Cam 2, Milrow 3, I have Brady Cook 4, and I have Graham Mertz right now at 5, or at 5.
See? Just like I said, Emery's going to tell you what he thinks.
Yes.
Not what everybody else is saying. I love it.
Well, here's the thing about the Shador thing. Maybe I'd be looking at things logically. And because just last year, right, all throughout this whole, you know, since 1920, all you've heard was, well, you got to play the position from the pocket. Yep. It's about timing, touch, accuracy, anticipation. You know, it's about how you play on third downs, managing the game, good inside the red zone. And then I watched Shador play for 4 straight years at 2 different downtrodden programs that he elevated. And now the conversation is, well, you got to be able to throw off script. You got to be able to move outside. You got to be able to be an athlete. Like, I can't keep up when the narrative changes, right? Because if you told me someone since 1869, right, Harriet Tubman was alive still then. So since then, this dude is the most accurate passer in college football history. What are we talking about? Like, why is this not, why is this a question, right? So if you look at someone like Shador, and I said this when he was at Jackson State, he plays like Joe Burrow. And it's funny because everything that we hear about Joe Burrow or heard about Joe Burrow coming out of LSU was like, he doesn't have the strongest arm. He's not the most athletic. He takes a lot of sacks. He holds on the ball too long. Man, that sounds a lot like what we're hearing about Shador Sanders. And when you think about Sanders and you think about how he's able to excel consistently, think about this. His first 2 games, first game at Jackson State and his first game at Colorado, were comeback victories, upset wins against top 25 opponents. First was against FAMU and torrential downpour. They won that game 7-6. And the one against TCU where he threw for 500 yards and 4 touchdowns, and people were saying, well, we don't know if it's going to translate because he did that at Jackson State. Can he do it against the big boys? Well, how about that debut, right? And so I just find that whole conversation comical. And I'll just quickly touch on Brady Cook. When you look at Brady Cook's profile, athletic profile, and his statistics and his play, it looks a lot like Andy Dalton at TCU. And what we love about Dalton at TCU, grit, competitive, gamer, had his team playing in the Rose Bowl against Wisconsin and led the Bengals to a lot of AFC North titles and postseason berths. Brady Cook is going criminally underrated right now in this process.
And we're pretty sure that Abdul is going to be the first defensive lineman going off. Who's, in your opinion, the second and third guys? And I was mainly asking about where those guys from Georgia you think will be at.
I look at – it's fascinating because I said this before, too, where you look at these Georgia prospects on defense and don't even look at statistics. Just look at how they play. Mm-hmm. And because they're asked to play in a certain scheme and be a certain way. But when you look at their tools as a whole, you see some very good translatable skills and good football players. So Mikael Williams, to me, is more of a five tech. And so some teams can, look at him up front along the defensive line, kind of like how Trayvon Walker is. And he'll have sacks because he's a very good athlete. I think Jalen Walker can play all three linebacker positions. I graded him as my number one outside linebacker, more like a Sam guy. Mm-hmm. I think he's a better blitzer than he is a pure pass rusher, which is why I like him more linebacker than opposed to edge rusher. And when you think about Chambliss and how he plays, like every time I look up, he's making some big-time play. If you're looking at this from a, hey, this is our scheme, we need someone to fit that particular scheme, you'll find it's like going shopping at Costco at Georgia because they have a bevy of those guys that can fit in whatever you need them to do. And they've shown that they're both coachable and also talented to handle that responsibility.
Emory Hunt joining Andy and Randy talking about the NFL draft. And as we said, Mike and I trying to give you all the different perspectives. He was talking about Shador. And again, he can do that at Jackson State. He won't be able to do it. He right. did it at Colorado. And again, if the numbers don't matter, then why don't we talk about him? Like, I heard him talk about, some of the games he had. Now, he had a terrible game against Kansas mm-hmm. where the team didn't play well. They had a chance to maybe clinch the conference, and they didn't get it done. But, Mike, if the numbers don't matter and we say, all right, well, I want a quarterback who throws X amount of touchdowns or, his completion percentage is good. If I told you guys and you didn't know what his name was and I said, I got a quarterback who has an incredibly high IQ and he's accurate as hell, would you be interested? That's Shador Sanders.
Right. But as we've said from the jump, and like I'm a big, full disclosure, I'm a huge Deion Sanders fan, like a lot of Atlanta Falcon fans are. He is paying the price for his dad's juice and the swag and everything they've done. Now, again, did he maybe blow off some of these teams as they've reported? Apparently came in with some attitude. Well, that's happened before. Other players have basically given the high hand to some teams they've interviewed because they don't want to go there. They feel the franchise is dysfunctional or it's a bad fit. It's funny. When Eli Manning, it's because it's funny how if it's Archie Manning that organizes a guy going somewhere else.
It's okay.
Or John Elway.
Yeah.
And Deion's not even doing that. It's not like Deion came in and said, he's not going to so-and-so. He's not going to play for the Giants or Cleveland. That's not even in the conversation. But I just think there's a lot of OGs and old school pushback on that. And I said this, years ago. I saw Lamar Jackson. He's one of the most electrifying players I've ever seen in person in college. And I said, how this guy's one of the last guys selected in the NFL draft is mind-blowing to me.
I'm with you. 404-726-0929. Good stuff there from Emory Hunt. More of our experts to come, guys. You're going to hear from our buddy Greg Cosell, who breaks down every edge rusher that we've talked about, from Shamar Stewart all the way to Landon Jackson to James Pierce. You'll hear that coming up next hour, Mike. Zeke hits us up on Twitter and says, fellas, why are Falcon fans panicking? They're going to do the right thing today. They're panicking because when we started the show today, I told you, the history of what has happened the last few years, people right. are like on edge. I think they're going to do exactly what we need to do. But I understand the uncomfortableness that comes with, are you sure? Are you sure they're going to need to do?
I'm a Falcon fan. I'm a season ticket holder. I don't trust the front office. But you can't come here and just sit there like, oh, we're going to screw it up. It's going to be stupid. You don't want to be that fan. So, yeah, that's why guy just hit me. I'm speaking to Mr. Negative. This is the most overblown event in sports. Look, the NFL is King Kong. Everything the NFL does from the release of the schedule right to the draft is huge because the top 50 TV shows are the NFL. It is Pac-Man. And if you're not into it, knock yourself out. But as this thing has grown exponentially, it's just become great theater because there are general managers that will do things which will have people scratching their heads. There are some things which you didn't expect. And now with the fantasy component, I heard Bo Johnson talking about on Andy Randy where Ashton Gentry goes. That's going to be your first pick in your fantasy draft if he goes to the Raiders, for instance.
No doubt. Here's the other part of this, though, Mike. Look. The uniqueness of the draft, it is still the one draft that you know the players.
Right.
Okay? Major League Baseball draft, trust me, I covered a bunch of them. It's nothing. And half the guys in 10 years, you won't know where they are. And it takes most of these guys 4 to 6 years to get to the major
league. Did you know
who
Kelnick was?
No.
You know what he was?
No.
Top pick?
No. Okay? You know what I mean? I covered it.
Bomb.
The NBA draft used to be this.
Right.
But it has evolved because it's a global game now. It's changed. You don't keep up with all the players. The last 3 years, guys, we've had Frenchmen go number one overall.
Right.
You had no idea.
Well, you knew. You had a great knowledge of it when guys stayed in college for 3 or 4 years.
Yes.
And now part of it is, you're right, the one and done. You know, it's all betting on the come.
But you had no idea who these three Frenchmen were.
Nope.
Okay?
No idea.
The NFL draft is so compelling because you watch college football. You still know who's coming. And the fact that the NFL, to Mike's point, is such a juggernaut that there's this connection that your team is going to get some of your favorite players. It's easy money, man. What are you talking about? Like, this is not overblown. It's not overrated. This is exactly what it has become over probably the last 20 years. Because if you look at the old footage, I saw something today where Pete Rozelle, he's drawn on a chalkboard with the picks,
right,
and he's going, you know, Buffalo, Atlanta, and you're going, they went from a chalkboard to this? But it's the growth of the game and the fact that we care about these college players and the connection of, where are my guys going to go? Every Georgia fan is wondering, how many Georgia Dogs are going to go and where are they going
to
end up?
Well, that's just it. I mean, to the Mr. Grumpus over there, I think this is overblown. It's the intersection of our two most favorite sports, pro football and college football. It's the two most popular sports from viewership, from all the metrics out there, and that's why it's as big as it is. And again, if your team is, you know, if your team has struggled, it's a chance, because that's the one thing, and that's why they always tape it, and that's why we always hate we keep them in the computer, because Carl, someday we're going to get the guy who's going to be the transformative person who gets the bust in Canton, who's going to be the guy that resets the entire franchise, and it's happened before. We've seen it with just one pick. That's why. That's why we watch.
All right, guys.
4-4-7. Grumpy, miserable dude. Go watch the NBA playoffs. Which, by the way, numbers are up, by the way.
No, numbers are great, man. NBA's doing fine. They've got young stars. It's fun. I have no issue with the NBA. It's just the idea, like, oh, I don't understand what the big fuss is about the draft. Well, then you're not a football fan, because you're not giving an opportunity of the team that either you watch or your college football team the props that they deserve. All right, 404-726-0929. Great meme of Raheem on the phone saying, you want to be a Falcon, bro?
Yeah, man. And I've been throwing names out there. We gave you a couple, and Carl generally knows. Carl has sources
in the league. And you will find out at 6:50 tonight.
Carl gets, a guy hit me up and goes, who's Carl's sources? I don't know. He's got sources. I have guys like Drunk Larry and Don Mojito. Carl has guys in the league. And, you know, and I used to have Deep Falcon, a former Falcon player who I don't know, he was admonished, Carl. He used to give us a lot of good intel. But that source has been plugged. That leak is gone. The plumber's got to him. So we're going to depend on our man, C. Dukes, who's going to give you the tea sometime in the 6 o'clock
look,
hour.
Look, oh,
but the hay's never in the barn.
Well, yes,
it is.
Is
the hay in the barn?
Yes, it is. The hay is in the barn, Terry. Stop fibbing. Mike, we just, like I said today, we've been in the area code, right? The idea last year, when 2 days before the show, and I said to my partner, what if I told you they drafted a quarterback? He lost his mind, and everybody else did. You're dumb. You're silly. Dukes, you're an idiot. I said, okay. They might have conviction to draft this kid, this quarterback. They really like him. I don't know if they will. But, and then it happened, and everybody said, oh, my God. All I know is we're in the area code. Tonight, I think we're going to be in the area code as well.
All right.
All right, man. More to get to. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, including new deals. Tyler Lockett has a new team. Also, we'll talk about the new highest-paid safety. It is no longer Jesse Bates. We'll tell you about that in our 4th and 1 segment coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.